Good morning. Good morning, Rabotai. Welcome to Breakfast in the Class. Breakfast in the Class today is dedicated in the Refuah Shleima for Chana Bat Tzema Feiga and Eliyahu Shimon Bar Zafu Tuneh. And the Week of Kobe was sponsored by David E. Ash in honor of you and your substantial capacity to do good today and every day. I need something to prop this up on. So maybe just bring me that box, the coffee box. All right? Okay. I want to start by saying and sharing something that I think is very powerful, and hopefully you'll find it powerful as well on the Seder night. Let's begin. The Al Chachamim tell us as follows. Baruch Amakom Baruchu. Okay, so let's just give you, I'll give you the context before we head into it. The context is that we start reading about when does a person have an obligation to talk about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And the Gemara and the Haggadah tells us that there was Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah. He wanted to do it, Lo Zachit Yishtemei Yitzhak Mitzrayim Balelot, to tell you that you're obligated to do it at night. And there's machloket between the chachamim, machloket between whether or not, how long you have to do it, do you do it the whole night, etc., etc., etc. Maaseh b'Rabbi Eliezer, we already did the manishtana, we already did avadim hayinu. But now we have a very strange prayer. Blessed is the makom, blessed is Hashem, baruch hu, baruch shenatan Torah la'amu Yisrael. Blessed is Hashem that He gave Torah to the Jewish people. Baruch Hu, blessed is He. Keneged arba'a banim divra Torah. For the four sons did the Torah speak. That right now, the commentators want to know, what is this random sentence here? Blessed is Hashem, Baruch Hu. Baruch shenatan Torah la'amo Yisrael. What is that sentence? We're talking about Egypt. What does God giving the Torah have to do with us leaving Egypt? We're talking about bringing back the memory of leaving Egypt. And now we're saying, blessed is Hashem. It seems like it's disconnected completely. So what is going on over here? So I want to share with you a fascinating piece. And I guess there's different ways. I guess there's different ways of looking at it. We'll have to edit in post. I've always wanted to say that. Okay. Beauty. There's different ways of looking at this mitzvah, but we have to understand what is going on over here. Now, let me ask you, if I just asked you, as an uneducated guess, what does it sound like we're doing? Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenatan Torah Le'amo Yisrael. What does that sound like? Anyone? What does this blessing sound? You're saying you're blessing Har Sinai? Huh? Avodah Zarah? How do we get there? Bless you Hashem, Baruch Shenatan Torah Le'amo Yisrael. What does it sound like? So close. I thought you said something else. Sounds like the Berachah before you go to the Torah. Baruch atah Hashem natan lanu Torato Torat Mitzchayim Lamta B'tochenu. Right? Hashem bachar banu b'kol natan lanu et Torato. One more time. Baruch shenatan Torah lamo Yisrael. It sounds like you're making a beracha like you're going up for Aliyah. In fact, who says exactly that? The Shibolei Aleket writes. Rabbi Gladstein brings in his Haggadah. The Shibolei Aleket writes that this pasuk is a mini Birkat HaTorah. Why? Because we're about to go into the Haggadah, to all the various Pisukim, all the verses that obligate us, right? Keneged arba banim divra Torah, v'igarta lebincha b'yom ahu. We're going to quote all the Pisukim that we tell to the wise son, to the wicked son, to the son that doesn't know how to ask. Every one of them gets their own Pasuk. So you're about to study Torah. What do you do before you study Torah? You make Birkat HaTorah. That's what the Shibolei Aleket says. The question is, I get what you're saying, I feel you. Shibulei aleket. But there's lots of times when we go to a class in the evening. I have a lot of classes that I do in the evening. Some of you have been to those classes. Did we ever say Birkat HaTorah before the class? No. So what's going on? Why all of a sudden now are we making Birkat HaTorah? So I want to share something that I think is very, very powerful. The Midrash tells us that on the final night the Jewish people were in Egypt, the night of the Korban Pesach, not only did they have the blood of the Korban Pesach, but they also had another blood. Anyone know what it was? The blood of the Brit Milah. Excellent. In fact, you might remember this pasuk, we say it all the time. You say it all the time in a Brit Milah, you don't know what you're saying. Va'omalach bedamai chayi, va'omalach bedamai chayi. Someone once told me, why are we speaking in Aramaic? I said, where are we speaking in Aramaic? He says, bedamai chayi. He thought it was one word. It sounds like Aramaic if it's one word. In Hebrew, it's two words. Bedamayich chayi. In your blood shall you live. Right? Damayich has spelled two yuds. It doesn't mean your blood you shall live, but rather by your bloods you shall live. Two bloods. The blood of Korban Pesach that they put on the doorposts to be saved in the Makat Bechorot, and the blood of the Brit Milah. What are they doing Brit Milah for? Excellent, Joey. I don't want to call you Joey always. Joseph. Joe. What do you like? Joey? Okay. Because we had the question in the Ketubah, right?
As long as you call him, it's okay.
Yitz, could you get me some orange juice, please? Thank you, honey. So it's a great question. How do we come to Brit Milah over here? The answer is actually very simple. For 40 years in the desert, the Jewish people did not bring a Korban Pesach. Did you know that? When did they bring Korban Pesach? When they were in Egypt. And the first year. After that, first year, no more Korban Pesach. When was the next Korban Pesach they brought? In Eretz Israel. How do we know this? It tells us that when you came to Yehoshua, thank you, honey. Please only answer amen if you're listening to this live. Baruch atah Adonai, melech haolam, shehakol nehyeh baro. It says when they came to Jerusalem, to Eretz Israel, Yehoshua brings the Korban, and it says over there that the Korban was like an embarrassment. What was the embarrassment of the Korban? That the first time they brought this Korban was now, since they left Egypt. But why didn't they leave? Why didn't they do the Korban all those years? Oh, our Sadiq, our Tamir Chacham. Why did they do Korban Pesach the whole years they were in the desert? Because the Pasuk says that anyone who's a Arel, anyone who's uncircumcised, lo yochal bo, can't eat it. But not only does an uncircumcised person not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, even a Jewish person who's uncircumcised, there can't be Arel in the house. And since the Jewish people were all having children, they're in the desert. The desert, the Gemara tells us, does not have what's called Ruach Tzifonit, a northerly wind. The desert is a place of tremendous danger for someone to have a Brit Milah. You get a Brit Milah with no Ruach Tzifonit, the person is in Sakanat Nefashot of dying. What do you do when someone is in Sakanat Nefashot of dying? Brit Milah? They don't do Brit Milah. Did you know that? So
you're saying for 40 years they didn't do Brit Milah?
For 40 years, every new kid that's born, no Brit Milah. Every house has in it another baby. So all those years in the desert, they did not bring Korban Pesach. And it's right, because they had the Arel. Now they do Brit Milah when they get to Eretz Israel. No problem. By the way,
how about a family that didn't have a boy?
Sorry?
How about a family?
No such thing. In a family that has four kids, because they're on Sifa and they're worried about tuition, they have three kids. They're having, at the time, 6 kids in one shot in Israel, in Egypt. The families were, like it says, Paru, Vayirbu, Yishritu, Vayarbu, Ma'amitzvah. These families were enormous families. With there's hundreds of children running around, and grandchildren. There's no shot that there's not going to be someone who's having a baby. Okay? So, that's the Pasuk says. Now listen to this, because this to me is fascinating. Where else do you find this, by the way? You know where else you find this? Where else do we find a person not doing Brit Milah in the Torah? Anyone else? We have one other example of someone not doing Brit Milah because it's dangerous. Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's traveling from Midian back to Egypt, he doesn't do Brit Milah on his son. To the point where God is about to punish him. He's about to die for the sin of not doing Brit Milah. Everyone asks, what do you mean, why? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do Brit Milah, why not? The answer is, since he was traveling, it's a sakana to do Brit Milah on your son, on the road. So if it's a sakana, Moshe didn't do it, he's not supposed to do it. Why is he getting punished? The answer is, when he gets to the Malon, Moshe Rabbeinu gets busy with checking. What should he have done first, God says? Now you're not in sakana, immediately you have the mitzvah of Brit Milah, immediately you should do Brit Milah. So on Moshe's level, even stalling, just for checking, was already chayav mitah. God judges the tzaddikim on the highest level, because that's where they're up to. Till Sipporah comes in, what does she do? She manages to save her husband's life by doing the Brit Milah on the spot. Okay? By the way, just side lesson from here. What do we see? Side lesson, we see that when a person has a chance to do Brit Milah, when do you do it? The second you can. I've said this a few times. Mechila with the afternoon Brit Milahs. That's not how it should be. Now, I know why people are doing it. They feel more people will be able to come. They feel it will be a bigger, the biggest celebration because they're not at work. I get it. But the example that we use always of Zerizin Magdimin the Mitzvah is the Brit. It should be in the morning. You have less people? Okay. Do it as soon as you possibly can. That's the ideal way to do a Brit Milah. Does it have to be that way? No. What if a person they tried to get the best mohel? The mohel can't do it then because he has 4 Brit Milahs in the morning. Maybe if there's a good enough reason, it's not a laxity of doing it. But the idea that we're going to do a Brit Milah when it's comfortable, when it's easy, that's the whole point of Zerizut. That you do it immediately, not when it's comfortable. Okay? My friends, listen to this because I think that this is incredible. So let's come back here. On the night of the Seder, they have the blood of the Korban Pesach, but they also have the blood of the Brit Milah. Why? Because since in Egypt, in order to do the Korban Pesach, what they need to do? They need to have Brit Milah. What they do for Brit Milah? They gave everyone a Brit Milah. Ask the Rishonim a knockout question. The halakha is that you're only allowed to do Brit Milah in the daytime. Had they do Brit Milah in the evening of Pesach, you're not allowed to do Brit Milah at night. Bomb question. But the answer, my friends, in some ways to me is even more special. Ready for this? We have a very strange teaching. It says about the night of Pesach, Laila Kayom Ya'ir. The night of Passover, the Jewish people had the light of the sun shining. Okay? You hear this? It was bright as day, the whole night. Laila Kayom Ya'ir. And the question that everybody has to ask is, on this question, why in the world was it so important for God to have the light shining on the night of Pesach? God does miracles only when He needs to. He'll do miracles that are unnecessary. Excellent. By creating the sun, by having the light shine on the night of Pesach, what happened? It has a halakha of a day. Therefore, they're allowed to do the Brit Milah. If they're allowed to do the Brit Milah, that's what it means. But now we understand why on that night of all nights, why, how come, we ask the question, why is it the night of the Seder, we're making Birkata Torah before we're reading Pesukim? You never do that. You do it every morning. You don't do it at night. No obligation to make Birkata Torah once you made it in the morning. My friends, now we have an answer. Since on the night of Pesach, we're obligated to go back in time and place ourselves in the story of Mitzrayim, you have also the element of Laila Kayom Ya'ir, where the night shines as bright as the day. And therefore they're able to do Brit Milah. They're able to, therefore also, we have an obligation. Sun's rising, we're learning Torah. Baruch HaMakom Baruchu, Baruch Shenatan Torah L'Amo Yisrael. My friends, I want to say something that I think is very beautiful. Okay, according to this, when you get to this point in the Seder, maybe make a note of it. Baruch Shenatan Torah L'Amo Yisrael. I want you to pause. And I want you to think, you know what I'm doing? According to the Shibulei Aleket, I'm saying Birkat HaTorah right now. You know why? Because the sun just came up. And the reason why I think that that's very important is because we have to understand that oftentimes a person feels, when they're doing mitzvot, when they're studying Torah, they think to themselves, you know something? This mitzvah is impossible for me. I'm trying to do this, impossible. Doing kosher the right way, too hard. Okay? Sending my kid to a Jewish school, too hard. It's too expensive. Too much effort for my kid, for me. People say this all the time, Rabbi, I'm not holding there. I'm not up to that. I'm not ready for that. It's not the right time. My friends, it will never be the right time. Things that are easy for you, somehow, it's always the right time. It's always the right time for popcorn and Pringles. It's always the right time, right? To have a nice coffee, always the right time. You know, you tell someone you're hungry, not hungry. Also, they bring out mazet. No one says no to lahmajin. Right? No one ever said, oh, it's not the time right now. I don't know. I don't know if I'm up to having a lahmajin. You know, so I'm not sure if I'm ready. Not at that level, Rabbi. No one ever said that about lahmajin. It's only about things that are difficult. When we look at things that seem to be difficult, that seem to be impossible, what do we say? It's not for me. I can't. Impossible. You have people who come to shul once a year. They come to shul. The rabbi makes a joke at the, what's it called? At the end of Yom Kippur. They blow the shofar. Rabbi, ladies and gentlemen, next year, Kal Nidrei will be at 6:30. Right? You understand? He's already telling the time for next Yom Kippur. That's the saddest joke in the history of jokes. Okay? You tell a guy, listen, Rohi, I want you to start coming to shul a little bit. What does the guy say to you? I can't. Rabbi, you don't know. Me and shul, we're not friends. I can't sit. I'm not this. I'm not that. But then what do you see? You see people that when their father, mother, sister, brother, someone passes away, all of a sudden they're a shul champ. And they actually pulled it out. And the question is, what happened? So a lot of people look at it in a very cynical way. A lot of people look at this in a cynical way. Oh, the guy wasn't trying before. Now he has to, now he's doing it. I don't agree with that. Partially because I'm a Fahi and I learned from my father that that's not how you look at the world and that's not how you look at people. You don't look at the cynical way of looking at people. You don't look at people like they're small, like they're insignificant, like they're bad people, like they're lazy people. You don't look at people that way. I learned that from my father. That's not how I look at it. How come a guy who doesn't come to shul, son comes to shul now? You know what the answer is? Because now he has the mitzvah of Kaddish. And when it's time to get a Brit Milah, and it's the night before Passover, and you have to bring the Korban Pesach, but you can't, because you don't have a Brit Milah, what does Hashem do? He pulls out the sun. He lights up the night. He makes impossible things possible. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand what that means for your life? Rabbi, you don't know what the fight we had was. If you knew what he said to me, you wouldn't even ask me to make shalom. You would kill him yourself. Rabbi, what this one, what he stole from me, you wouldn't even ask me. You know what? You're right. I'm not telling you it's easy. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when a person comes to a mitzvah with a desire to do the mitzvah, worlds shift in front of him. And all of a sudden, a thing that was impossible for you becomes possible. Just because the person wants to be able to fulfill the mitzvah. My friends, I think that also applies to this beautiful bracha that the Shibboleth HaLeket tells us that we're making. It's nighttime. We're at the Haggadah. And what do? We say Baruch HaMakom, we make Birkat HaTorah. And why do we make Birkat HaTorah? Because what are we about to read, what I tell you? All the Pesukim, all the verses of the four sons. V'yigadet lebincha. My friends, one of the most challenging things to do in this world is to raise good children. And how many times has a father or a mother looked at a child and said, "Dichit, I can't." And you know what's interesting to me? You'd think, which child makes a parent say, "I can't"? The Rasha, right? The Rasha is a difficult child. It's not true. Sometimes the Chacham is a difficult child. She biflej. The kid came home from yeshiva, he doesn't want to eat your food. He doesn't want to ever spend any time with the family because they're not talking Divrei Torah. He doesn't want to do this. He doesn't want to do that. It's very difficult. Or the kid is being disrespectful because he thinks, because he spent a year in yeshiva, he knows everything. Correcting his father and mother in front of the family. Like, sometimes the difficult kid is the chacham. Sometimes a kid, you know, not the chacham, not the rasha, that's not the hard one. You know what the difficult kid is? At least chacham, rasha, they're talking to you. This one in a good way, maybe this one in a difficult way, but if he's talking to you, even if he's talking to you disrespectfully, he's still talking to you. He's engaging. Then you have the one who just sits there in the back like this, Hada. Everyone thinks Enu Yodea Lish'ol means that the guy is a little kid this big, so he hasn't yet learned how to ask. But you know what? It might not be. That might not be the pshat. Enu Yodea Lish'ol might be a very grown child. It might be a sophisticated child. It might be a child that suffers from low self-confidence. Low self-confidence. I'll give you an example about what this looks like. I say this all the time. I used to have kids when I was teaching in schools for a chazak in London, all the time. You ask a question, and the kids would raise their hand and they would say, "This is probably a stupid answer, you know. I'm sure this is for sure wrong," but that's how they would start. Or my other favorite, it's probably a dumb question, but that's a kid. He's afraid of looking like an idiot, so he doesn't ask. How many times does it happen in the shul? Someone will ask a question, and I'll give an answer. And everyone else who didn't ask the question is sitting there like this. "Wow, I never knew that." But only one of you asked. How come? Because that one is a Yodea L'Sha'ol. There's many things that make raising kids an impossible task. It's very hard. Sometimes you see even children from wonderful parents. Rabbi's children, the kid is way out. What happened? Raising children can be difficult. But my friends, says the Pasuk, is there a greater mitzvah in the world than raising children? No. So remember this. When it came time to bringing the Jewish children into the fold on that night, when the father was trying to be able to raise their children, when the father was trying to bring the Korban Pesach, what did God do? He shifted the sun to be able to shine in the middle of the night. Understand that no matter how difficult and how dark it is, or it seems, in the relationship you have with your kid, understand that if your intentions are pure, and you're praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you want to do the right thing, and you're not actually standing up for ego or honor, or this or that, or control, you actually care deeply about the child, and you're doing everything from the right place, You know what the Torah says? I want you to know everything will work out. What a beautiful lesson. Baruch Shenatan Torah La'am Yisrael. Wow. Hashem, I'm making Birkat HaTorah now. You know why? Because it's like the daytime. And that darkness that a person sometimes finds himself in winds up becoming illuminated as if it was the middle of the day. My friends, I just want to end with this last point. Okay? And I think that every single person has to do this in their own home, in one way or another. When I was living in London, so there was a period of time that I was away a lot. I was running trips nonstop for the organization. I was going to Poland, back, America, back, Prague, back, like this. It was not easy for me. It was not easy for my children. So at the time, I decided, you know something? My kids need a little daddy time. They need some time with me. But when you go out with all your kids, you know what happens? The loudest one monopolizes the whole time. Right? So what I do, I went to my oldest kid at the time. I said, get ready, we're going to go. And we went to Mr. Baker. It was a place in London that had like a, how do you call it? A bakery, okay? I don't know why I couldn't figure out what Mr. Baker was. They didn't sell Misters. The only two options in that name, Mr. or Baker, so either way. So I went to Mr. Baker. And then I came home, and I took the next kid, and we went to Mr. Baker. I went home, I took the next kid. Thank God we lived next to Mr. Baker. But I went back. Each time they see me coming in, they think this guy's Majnun. Either that, or he's child trafficking. Something's happening here, right? You know, every 2 minutes coming with another, right? Sitting down, having another thing, another coffee, another. I did it in Pizzazz. I still have some of those videos, actually. I have to find those back on the computer. But my friends, I think the pasuk over here is also telling us, Arba banim dibra Torah. There's four children. But then, you know what the most beautiful lesson is? The Haggadah pulls them apart and gives each one of them their own conversation. And I think that sometimes what a person needs to understand is that maybe part of the reason why it feels so difficult to raise kids is because you're using one approach for all of them. You know what they say? One size fits none. So when we make this biracha, and we recognize how difficult this is and how special it is. My wife said the other day, you know, what a special thing it is today. You should be happy. Just if the only thing you accomplish is that you raised a happy, healthy, well-adjusted child, that's like a miracle. It's crazy. Back then, that was the way you started. Now, shtabach shemo. Right? Unbelievable. You raised a kid that actually, you know, identifies as a, right, etc. Right? You raise a kid that's not on drugs. You raise a kid that's not, right? That's not, it's a big deal today. It's not cheating. You raise a kid that's not, you know, it's unbelievable. That's already a big deal. And part of the reason is because in our world believes that you have to treat everybody the same. So what do you do when you treat everybody exactly the same? You ruin everybody. Says the Pasuk, you know something, and I love this idea. What's the reason it's most people don't spend the time to be able to do enough for each one? Because they say, I don't have the time. What does God do? He makes the sun come out at night. He just gives you more hours in your day. There's an expansion, an expansiveness that happens in the life of a person who's trying to do the mitzvah the right way. So if you feel like something is very difficult, instead of giving up, perhaps think, you know something? If I try with the right heart, with the right mind, to do it in the best way, maybe Hashem will open something up and allow me to do it in the best way. I've seen this a million times in my own life. And I pray and I bless all of us that we should all be zocheh to have this experience as well in our life of Laila Kayom Ya'ir. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen. Rabbi Chanina ben Akasha omer, Atzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zgot Tzel.